It's gone live now. Is that okay with you?
Yep, sounds great.
Brilliant stuff. So listen, hang on there for me and I'll be with you in just a couple of moments.
All right, thank you.
Was on senior counsel of the FAI. He was the president of the LFA, which is the Leinster Football Association. He was the chairman of the DDSL, which was the Dublin District Schoolboy League. He was secretary of St. Pat's Football Club and an international referee. Yeah, he's quite a football past, my father. You wouldn't think it to listen to me with my interest in sport, but my father was very well up. So much so, actually, when he did die in 2014, they actually had a minute's silence at the Aviva Stadium for him. But anyway, always said, and said it to me so many times, because he went out for his meetings in Parnell Square and Merrion Square on a regular basis when the FAI was in Merrion Square at the time. He said the FAI was a shambles. And right through the 70s and 80s, he was involved in the FAI and the Leinster Football Association. And I always remember him saying that it was a shambles. He stepped away from the senior council of the FAI because he couldn't deal with the nonsense that was going on in there. He would be turning in his grave, but probably laughing as well, because he knew that it would have come to this point at some stage, that the FAI would just fall apart at the seams. It was a mess. When we see tonight on Twitter being posted they weren't even keeping proper accounts. They have been accused by auditors of not even keeping proper accounts. It just goes to show you that such a big organisation, they were just irresponsible in the way they've dealt with everything so far. And unfortunately, John Delaney's answers to questions during the week wasn't sufficient. You can't claim the Fifth Amendment in Ireland. That's essentially what he was doing, was claiming the Fifth Amendment. We don't have it over here. He's not in America, but it's an absolute mess. All right. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk about it later on. Also, by the way, I'm noticing the paper, Paloma Faith, the famous singer, who was in the papers last year when she had a baby because she was raising the baby gender neutral. This gender neutral nonsense bothers me. But anyway, she's now going on about the children should be allowed to wear whatever clothes they want. And, you know, in the real sense, in the real world, yes, she's probably right in some sense. But she said, if your little boy wants to go out wearing a dress, let him. Yeah, let him go out and get his head kicked in if he wants to wear a dress. Because all she's essentially saying is, you should allow your child to be bullied. Because we live in a world, whether you like it or not, where girls are girls and boys are boys. And girls gravitate towards certain type of clothing. Boys tend to gravitate towards certain type of clothing. Boys are clothing, or more generic, obviously, than girls. Girls tend to, I suppose, be more fond of their clothing. That'd be a fair statement to make. And they wear different types of clothing. Yeah. And because of the biological makeup of a woman, they wear different clothing because they have breasts, so they wear different types of blouses and tops. Their jeans and their trousers are designed differently because of, obviously, the anatomy of the female body. Also, they wear skirts, and the idea of wearing skirts, there's many different reasons why women wore skirts. A lot of it was to do with, the air and having a little bit of draft in the area, all that kind of stuff. That was the original biological reason. And it was also, years ago, it was to do with horse riding or something like that as well, wasn't it? I can't remember the exact reason why women started to wear skirts at first. But in any case, there's a biological reason for it, right? It's not necessary. Women can wear trousers. They can do what they want, right? But for men, the idea of wearing a skirt, unless you're a Scotsman and you want to wear a kilt, was a bit strange, you know, because you always got bullied for it, all right? And that's probably not going to change overnight. So for Paloma Faith to say, send your little boy to school address, I think all she's doing is asking for people to be bullied. Now, I also want to talk about moving statues later on if I get a chance to, but the first thing I want to talk about is Pastor Stephen Anderson. Now, you may remember about going back, it must be 3 or 4 years since we spoke to Pastor Anderson the last time, and he's been on the show maybe 3 or 4 times at this stage. But he is coming to Ireland, Pastor Stephen Anderson, and he's belonged to the Faithful Word Baptist Church. They're a fundamental independent Baptist church, and they're based in Texas, in Arizona. And he's on the line with us now. Pastor Stephen Anderson, good afternoon to you. Or good evening. Sorry, it's afternoon your time. Good evening, my time.
Yeah, good evening. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, it's been a while.
Yeah, what happened? I used to come on all the time, huh? It's been a long time.
Yeah, we kind of missed you. But Stephen, you know, you're coming over to Ireland, and they've already set up, a protest, so to speak, or, a petition online to stop you from coming here. I'm not too sure what that's all about. I believe in free speech, even though I may not agree with everything you say. And just to give people an idea, I suppose, of what your church stands for, they believe that the King James Bible is the inspired word of God and without error. The church also believes in the post-tribulation rapture, salvation by grace through faith, eternal torment in hell for the unsaved. Among the church's beliefs are the view that life begins at conception, that homosexuality is a sin and an abomination which God punishes with the death penalty, and opposition to worldliness, formalism, modernism, feminism, liberalism. And they also believe the Faithful Word Baptist Church is strictly anti-abortion, against birth control, against condoms, and you believe that birth control and condoms are murder. There's a lot going on there, Stephen.
Yeah, where do you want to start?
Well, let's start with, why you believe people object to you. Why do you think people object to you coming to Ireland? I mean, Ireland, I don't know if you've watched the history of Ireland and how we have changed socially or evolved, I suppose. Some people say evolved, some people say changed socially over the last sort of, particularly the last 20 years, because we were a very religious country. And now all of a sudden we're probably leading the way when it comes to liberalism. We've the first country to vote and have a referendum to vote for gay marriage. You know, we were the only country who didn't have abortion in Europe, and now we did. We do. We voted for it last year in a referendum. 70% of the population almost voted in favour of it. So are you surprised to see Ireland change so much?
No, not really. I think that the goal with banning me from Ireland or not letting me come is to try to paint me as a radical or as an extremist, when really most of my views are shared by millions and millions of people. Normal people are disgusted by homosexuality. Half the people in the United States believe that abortion is murder. And so my views aren't radical or crazy, but the media wants to paint it that way. So if they say, hey, this guy's banned from five countries, he can't even enter Ireland, then people will think, oh, wow, those must be some really wild views he has or something. So they're just trying to make it sound crazy, when in reality, I'm just preaching what the Bible says.
Well, I don't believe you'll be stopped coming to Ireland by the state because you don't have a criminal record. So I don't believe that's going to happen. But maybe you will be sort of felt unwelcome when you come here. Because let's deal with your views if we can. You know, firstly, let's go to, I suppose, abortion. Abortion in this country, last year we had a referendum. 67% of the population voted in favour of a woman's choice or a woman's the right to choose. To have an abortion up to 12 weeks and up to 22 weeks in extreme circumstances. Now, obviously, you disagree with that. The reason you class it as murder, you even insinuate that it's murder to use birth control. Is that even a stretch?
Well, I think you misunderstood my position. I never said that condoms are murder, okay? What I was saying is that there are a lot of birth control pills that operate like a morning after pill, so there's already a child conceived, and then it dies. I believe that life begins at conception. I believe life begins at fertilization. And, you know, the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. And so it's murder because it's alive and you're killing it and it's a human being. I mean, it really couldn't be any simpler.
But you also believe that, you know, IVF is also seen as murder because embryos are discarded during the process.
Right.
Whereas IVF, you know, for many women who've struggled to have children and do exactly what you want to see women do, which is procreate. Many women who do that, and we have this wonderful thing now which can help them in times where they just can't naturally procreate. You know, and they're doing that, and you're not even agreeing with that.
Well, you know, it just really shows you human nature. People that are supposed to be having kids are taking a drug to stop having kids, and then people who God has not blessed with children are, you know, going through this scientific process to try to have children by unnatural means. And the problem with IVF is that, like you said, many embryos are discarded in the process. You know, life is created and destroyed in the process.
Yeah, but they're not conceived embryos.
Well, the Bible defines conception as fertilization, because the Bible talks about through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. The seed is the sperm, and so the Bible talks about conceiving seed. So when the seed and the egg come together, that's conception, okay? So it's right at fertilization.
Yeah, but when you say God was the one who decided, there are a lot of women out there who can't have a child with the partner they're with, and not because either one of them has anything wrong with them. In some cases, some people are just not sexually compatible. I'm sure you've heard of that. And, you know, the guy is fine, his sperm are good, the girl is fine, her eggs are fine, but they're just not sexually compatible, and they end up having to have IVF. God isn't choosing there. Unfortunately, it's just biology.
Well, no, it is God choosing. I mean, God controls these things. The Bible says that children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. You know, God opens and closes the womb, the Bible says. If you don't believe that, that's another matter, but the Bible clearly states that God opens and closes the womb. In fact, this is a major theme in the Bible where you have women like Sarah and Rebecca and Rachel who can't have children, and then they pray to the Lord, and he blesses them with children maybe 10 years later, 20 years later. So this is a big subject in the Bible, and so we need to wait on God. And for some people, it might just be God's will that they don't have any kids or that they only have one or two kids. You know, that's up to God. You know, so far God's given me 10 kids, and I've got my 11th on the way, and I'm going to keep having as many as he gives me.
And how old are you? How old are you?
I'm 37.
Okay, so yourself and your wife, I was going to say partner, but you probably don't agree with that word. Yourself and your wife have been basically having kids since you got together. I mean, she's been kind of pregnant, more or less.
Yeah, she's pretty much been pregnant or breastfeeding our entire marriage, one or the other. Our kids are about 2 years apart. So
and how long is that going to continue for?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
so do you? I mean, I'm sorry to ask you a personal question, but have you ever used birth control?
When I first got married, you know, I didn't really understand all these things. And so my wife did use birth control pills for the first 3 months we were married. You know, that was a mistake looking back. But that was the only birth control we've ever used, was just she used a pill for the first 3 months. And that's it.
Okay, so you don't believe in using or having sex just for enjoyment. Sex, in your mind, is for procreation.
Well, no, because we would have sex for enjoyment all the time, because what about when she's already pregnant? I mean, that's 9 months of doing it just for the fun of it, right? So there you go.
Okay, all right. Yeah, all right, okay. But when she's not pregnant, there's no panic. You know, there's no kind of rhythm method. And there are methods that the Catholic Church, for example, approve of.
Right.
You know, where you can, you know, use timing and temperatures and all this kind of carry on, where you don't use chemicals.
Yeah, we don't use those methods. The times that they tell you to abstain are typically the most enjoyable times. So, you know, that wouldn't be
fun. Well. All right, okay. So, and you're planning on child number 11 at the moment. So, and how many girls, how many boys have you got?
6 boys and 4 girls.
All right, okay. So, hopefully, well, maybe a girl this time, so you can kind of balance it out a bit.
Yeah.
All right. In relation to your girls, something that you don't agree with is feminism.
Right.
Now, feminism, I understand if you were talking about extreme feminisms, because some of them are nutcases, right? But when we talk about feminism in general, the word feminism should mean equal rights for women. And rights for women, which the suffragettes voted for and the suffragettes fought for years. I mean, I'm sure you would like to see your daughters, as they grow up in life and you get older and pass away, your daughters and your granddaughters have the same rights in society that you have.
No, absolutely not. I don't, because, you know, I don't believe that women are the same as men and have the same role in society as men. And so obviously
that I agree with that, but that doesn't mean they shouldn't have the same rights and opportunities.
Well, it depends on what you mean by right. Do they have the right to pastor the church? No, because the Bible says, I suffer not a woman to usurp authority over the man, you know, nor to teach, but to be in silence. So it's not for a woman to lead in the church or preach. It's not for a woman to run the country or run the home. So if that's what you mean by rights, then absolutely not. And, you know, my daughters...
So you must have been sweating when Hillary Clinton was running for election, were you?
No, because it really doesn't affect my daily life, who's in the White House, at all.
Okay.
And you know, here's the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. They say different things, but when they get elected, they all do the same things. So there really isn't big of a difference when what they actually do.
I mean, you did bring a bit of attention to yourself back in 2009 when you were praying for the death of Barack Obama.
Well, I felt the same way about George W. Bush, so...
You pray for the death of him. Well, I think a lot of people might have been joining you in that one. Okay.
Right.
But, okay, but getting back to women's rights, I mean, you know, I mean, I understand what you're saying, that they have a different role in life, and I completely agree with you. I mean, you might be surprised to hear me say that. I do believe men and women are inherently very different, but I do believe we both bring, you know, a lot to the table, so to speak. But I do believe that my daughter and my son should have the same opportunities, the same pay if they go into a job, the same rights, when it comes to voting or whatever it happens to be, and when they're in a family unit, that they both have the same input. But you believe differently. You believe the man is the king of the castle.
That's exactly what I believe. You know, I believe that the home should be a benevolent dictatorship. You know, so the husband is in charge, but he should love his wife, do what's best for his wife, consider his wife, do things that she likes. But at the end of the day, he's the boss. And, you know,
she should obey him.
That's what the Bible clearly says that wives are to submit to their own husbands and to be obedient to their husbands. I mean, the Bible says that in Titus chapter 2, 1 Timothy 2, 1 Peter chapter 3. It's all over the New Testament.
Yeah, I mean, I do see it in some cultures, all right. You would see women be very subservient, but I very rarely would see it now in the Christian culture. I mean, I mean, would you be coming home from work and your wife would have your slippers at the door, run your bath for you, you know, have your dinner on the table? Is that the way your household works? Or
sounds,
is your wife
yeah,
works?
Yeah, sounds great.
I'm only asking, is that the way your household operates?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you're painting it as a little bit of a caricature. But yeah, my wife cooks all my meals, take care of me. She does run the bath for me. We just got a brand new bathtub, and so... You know, she does those things. Absolutely. And
would you ever have to ask her? Would you ever say, you know, honey, I'm feeling a bit tired here. You wouldn't go run me a bath.
Yeah, of course I would. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know. And the thing is, I mean.
If I said that to my partner, I know what I'd get back. But your own bloody bath.
Here's what you have to understand is that, you know, women are designed by God to be in that role. So actually, they're happiest when they're in that role. Okay. When they're married to a strong leader, a strong man who runs things, they like that, okay? And then men like to be in charge because that's the way they're wired. So, you know, if you have a henpecked man, he's not going to be happy, but his wife's not going to be happy either because she doesn't want to be married to a milquetoast guy. I mean, how many romance novels are written about some milquetoast, watered-down weakling?
Yeah, but they're novels. I mean,
I'm just using that as an illustration.
I mean, okay.
That even ungodly people...
Every question you've answered me with so far this evening, right, has been, and I'm respecting your religion, by the way, even though I'm not a religious person. Okay, but the Bible says, okay. But the thing about it is, you know, do you accept that the Bible is 2,000 years old, and that we as a society have evolved? Do you accept the evolution of mankind? I know you won't accept Darwin's theory of evolution. But the evolution of mankind, that as human beings, you know, we're changing, even physically. For example, in Europe, people are getting taller. Our brain size is getting bigger. We're changing. Our attitudes change in life. You know, we think differently maybe than we would have, say, 200 years ago. We have more needs in our lives. We have the internet. Do you accept that, you know, life is moving on? Medicine is moving on. We're living longer. Do you accept all these changes?
Well, it hasn't evolved, it's devolving. It's going down the toilet. Our Western society is a society in decline. It's a culture in decline. So we're not evolving, we're devolving. And I believe that people were smarter in the past than they are now. I believe this is probably the dumbest generation ever in the United States. I've never been to Ireland, but I would assume probably the same thing. Things are being dumbed down. If I read a book from 100 years ago, it's way more intelligent than a book that was written yesterday. If I go back 200 years, it's even more intelligent. Even if you just look at the linguistics of mankind, ancient languages are all very complicated and difficult. Modern languages get simpler and simpler and easier until we're all going to be speaking in like a texting type language, okay?
Yeah, but that's because you, like me, are getting older. And you know, and I look at kids, the way they text, and instead of saying, I love you, they would put I love and the letter U, right? They wouldn't even bother spelling Y-O-U. I look at that and I go, oh, yeah, damn kids, you know, they don't even know how to speak English. But that's just the way language is evolving. The same way as language, you know, before Christ would have been very different to language, say, 400 years later. In other words, language evolves as well.
Yeah, but it's devolving.
I mean Western people were speaking Latin at one stage.
Right,
we've all evolved from Latin.
But it's getting more dumbed down, okay? You know, like if you take the Greek language, for example, the most complicated form of Greek is going to be the Iliad and the Odyssey, and then it gets simpler, 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 all the way down to modern Greek is the simplest. Same thing with English.
Yeah, but we're speaking English. We're both speaking English now, which evolved from Latin. Most of that.
Yeah, but modern English was more complicated than our contemporary English. You know, we used to have thee and thou and ye and you. Now it's all just one word, you. It keeps getting simpler. What I'm saying is people are not getting smarter. They have more technology to lean on. They have the smartphone. Yeah, the phone's getting smarter, but that doesn't mean people are getting smarter. People are getting
dumb.
It's
more access to information, isn't it? Communications, information.
Oh, it's great. I mean,
originally called the information superhighway.
Well, I love the technology. You know? I love the smartphone. I love the information. But unfortunately... people are being dumbed down. They're rotting their brains in front of the television. They don't read books. They certainly don't read the Bible. And so you want to know why Christians don't agree with these basic truths from the Bible about men's roles, women's roles, abortion, etc. is because they're not even reading the Bible, because they're not reading any book, because they're watching cartoons. That's what's going on.
Okay. All right. Okay. So we've dealt with that. Well, that's more or less dealing with modernism. And we've dealt with abortion. Now let's get to the other one, which I suppose causes a few problems. You believe that homosexuality is a sin. And I'm quoting here, you know, your Baptist church, your faithful word Baptist church. You're saying that homosexuality is a sin and an abomination, which God punishes with the death penalty.
Well, that's just a matter of record in Scripture. I mean, that's what the Bible says. 3,500.
You don't agree with that, do you?
Do you expect me to not agree with the Bible? Of course I agree with the Bible.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sure you've watched the news lately. The Sultan of Brunei, as you well know, has changed the law where he is now saying that, you know, homosexuality is sentenceable by death.
Sounds great.
The world.
Yeah, sounds great.
Well, then why don't you move to Brunei?
Well, because I'm not a Muslim, and unfortunately it's a Muslim country. I wish Christians would follow their own holy book. That'd be great. But, you know,
so you believe that anything, with the exception of heterosexuality, you believe anybody else with any kind of other type of relationship should be sentenced to death?
Yeah, homos or being with animals or whatever, yeah. But, you know, Leviticus was written in 1500 BC.
I just want to rein you in slightly there, okay? You're now comparing homosexuality to bestiality.
Well, that's because the Bible mentions them in the same breath.
That's unacceptable.
Well, the Bible mentions them in the same breath.
We're talking about two human beings. Okay, leaving aside the sexual aspect of it, okay? And I understand what you're talking about in relation to the sexual aspect. You don't agree with it, and that's fine. That's your own business if you don't agree with the sexual aspect of it, okay? Although 26% of heterosexual couples perform anal sex on a regular basis. But let's decide about it. We'll park that there for the moment. What about the fact that two men or two women could actually love each other? Do you accept they could love each other?
Well, of course men can love each other. I mean, I love my dad, I love my brother, I love my friends. But it doesn't mean that you have to be a filthy pervert and do these sick acts. I mean, look, Leviticus was written 1,500 years before Christ. It's 3,500 years old.
But it sounds like you're still living in that time.
Okay, but here's what's funny. You know, the Irish Mirror did an article about me last week. And they literally said, in 2014, Pastor Anderson said, quote, and then they just put the text of Leviticus 20, verse 13. And they attributed that quote to me as 2014. Like I came up with that in 2014. And this is journalism? You know, that's from 3,500 years ago, okay? It's the word of God.
Yeah, but you're agreeing with it. Yeah, but you're condoning it. You're agreeing with it.
Well, is there such thing as a Christian who doesn't agree with the word of God? Does that exist?
There are many Christians. Christians do believe in the word of God.
There are
Christians. I mean, this country is a Christian country.
Who deny
the Bible?
I thought you have to believe the Bible to be a Christian. I thought that was what it meant to be a Christian. Is that you believe?
Well, then there's probably no Christians in Ireland if that's your definition.
Well, sure there are, because they're coming to my event on May 26th.
Do you believe there's people in this country, in Ireland, who actually think that the Bible, and when you're talking about the King James Bible? Do you believe there are people in this country who literally who take that literally, just like you, and who live by that, the Word of God and the King James Bible? I mean, one of my most religious callers, who was actually on the air last night about a different topic, Bill, he's either Presbyterian or Church of England, I'm not too sure, but he's a Christian. And he believes in the Bible. He can quote it for me on a regular basis, and he does. But he himself, you know, he says homosexuality is a sin. Absolutely. That's what he believes, and that's fine. But he would never wish death upon anybody. Never.
Well, he sounds like a wonderful compromiser. But the bottom line is, there are people in Ireland who believe the Bible. Otherwise, I wouldn't even be going. I'm going there to fellowship with Bible-believing Christians that are going to come out.
Well, are you surprised? Are you surprised you're not being made feel welcome, Stephen, when you're condoning? I didn't say that you said that homosexuality should be sentenceable by death, but that you're agreeing with a book that says it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly with it. I like it. I think it's great. And I think that it should be implemented. Okay? And I'm, you know, going there to preach the Word of God to people who actually believe the Bible And, you know, your watered-down Presbyterian friend's not invited, frankly.
I'm sure he, he's listening. He may ring in now. I'm sure he's listening. And he would be...
Why should I be surprised? Why should I be surprised? They crucified Jesus. They threw the apostles in jail. The Bible says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you." That's what the Bible says. So if you believe the Bible and preach the Word of God, you're not going to be liked by the world. That's what the Bible...
Can you not just take the Bible up and use it as some sort of moral benchmark for life? In other words, pick and choose. You know, there's a lot of stuff in the Bible, you know, that people are not going to take literally, and for our very obvious reasons, because it doesn't apply to 2019. As you rightly said, you know, it's a very old book. And, you know, we lived different lives, you know, 3,500 years ago or 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ was around. People lived very different lives.
Well, but there are a lot of things that just don't change. I mean, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. Obviously, we live different lives in the sense that
we have
technology.
There's a lot of new things under the sun. But the Bible's wrong.
Not really.
Because there's a lot of new things. Well, under the sun has changed. The world has changed. The population has changed. People have changed.
You know, at its core, though, human nature is human nature. People are people. And when you read the stories of the Bible, you will find parallels in our life in 2019. The same types of things are happening. The same scenarios are played out. It's all extremely relevant.
Okay, let's just move away from homosexuality for a few moments. And I'm sure there are some people who want to talk to you, by the way. If you do want to talk to Pastor Stephen Anderson, who is coming to Ireland, I'll give you the date shortly that he is coming over to speak over here. But you're only invited, by the way, if you believe in the Bible. You can text or WhatsApp us at 087-188-0008. Maybe you agree with the guy. Is there anybody at all listening tonight who agrees with everything that Stephen says? You're welcome to give us a call. We'll give you those dates a little bit later on. But getting back to, you know, other things that you believe in and in relation to your children and how you raise your children, because obviously your children are going to be raised in your eyes and in your partner's eyes, your wife's eyes. Do your children go to school?
No, they're homeschooled.
Okay, and why is that? Is there a fear that they would mingle with society and become too liberal?
Well, it just would make absolutely zero sense for me to send my children to a school that is run by people that have values that are the opposite of my values, that are atheistic, godless values, that are against everything I believe in. Why would I go through the trouble of, you know, having children and raising children just so they could be brainwashed in a God-hating, atheistic
You're brainwashing them into your way of thinking as well.
Exactly. So that's what I want them to think like me, like a godly Christian. I don't want them to think like a gay theist or a fagnostic. I want them to be like me. Why would I want them to be raised by someone who's going to teach them to be
the opposite?
Because
you want them to be independent people. But, I mean, I raised my three children, you know, 23, 19, and 17 years of age. And yes, I would have had an influence raising them, as did my wife at the time, would have had an influence of raising them. But in saying that, they still became independent thinkers. I want them to be independent thinkers.
Well, you know what? Isn't it amazing how all these independent thinkers out in the world just happen to all believe the exact same things at the same time? And 20 years ago, they all had a certain opinion. And now 20 years later, they all have a different opinion. Isn't it funny how they just all happen to independently think the exact same things? They're not independent thinkers. No one is an independent thinker. You're either putting the Word of God into you and getting the truth, or you're filling your mind with the crap that the school system and TV and radio feeds you. Either nobody is a totally independent thinker living in a vacuum. Okay,
I consider myself an idiot. I consider myself a leader, not a follower. Right. So I consider myself to be an independent thinker. I don't agree with people just because I should agree with them. I will tell you exactly what I think. And sometimes, by the way, I change my mind. I'm quite entitled to do that. I have slightly different views now than I might have had 8 years ago. And in 8 years' time, I might have more conservative views. I don't know. I change my mind on things. So I'm an independent thinker.
I'm not an independent thinker. I depend on God's word to tell me what I should think. I'm not independent.
So you're a follower, not a leader.
Yes, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Exactly. I'm not a leader. I'm a follower of Christ. And you know what? You're a follower, too. You just won't admit it. I'm just admitting
Who am I a follower? Who am I a follower of?
Well, you're a follower of the godless, worldly, socialist system that you've been trained in over there.
I completely disagree with socialism, by the way, but however, I'm not certainly not a follower of socialism or a socialist system of any
or
type.
Or humanistic or whatever you want to call your belief system, you know, of tolerance.
I have my own views mm-hmm. on, you know, transgender. I have my views on homosexuality. I have my views on abortion, mm-hmm. although there's kind of key things, feminism, that we talk about on a regular basis. But I do respect other people's views on it.
Well, if you were living 50 years ago, you wouldn't have the same views that you have right now. You wouldn't be as tolerant of homos and all these
probably
other
not.
Weird things. You'd have a totally
probably,
different
you're
view.
You're probably right. I probably wouldn't because I live in a different world.
You'd be a product of that generation, and right now you're a product of this generation. And here's the thing. Because you don't believe in Christ, because you're not saved, the Bible says that you're under the influence of the devil. You know, the Bible says that before we're saved...
But that doesn't make any sense. Because you just, by your own admission, I don't believe in God, okay? So I don't believe in Jesus Christ. So how would the Bible say anything about me? Because I don't believe in it. To me, it's just a book.
Oh, is this like when little kids close their eyes and then they think that they're invisible now? Just because you don't believe in the Bible no. doesn't make it go away. Just because you close your eyes, it's still there, okay? You probably don't believe in hell either, but hell is still there. Whether you believe in it or not,
as an atheist... As an atheist, then, am I going to hell, yeah?
Absolutely. Anyone who doesn't believe in Jesus is going to hell. The Bible says, you know, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So you have God's wrath on you, and not only that, but the Bible says that you are walking according to the course of the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So you're actually following the devil's program for your life without even knowing it. I'm not saying you're doing that intentionally.
So who is the devil? Who is Beelzebub? Who is the devil? Is the devil this description of a person that we have in the Bible, a man, you know, with a crozier in his hand and hooked feet and claws and in a burning place down below it? Or is the devil just society that doesn't agree with the Bible?
Well, there's no such description as what you just gave of the devil in the Bible. The Bible describes the devil as being a beautiful angel that is transformed into an angel of light, and he deceives the whole world, including you, and his goal is to take as many people to hell with him. And so if you don't believe in Christ and you're following atheism or whatever else you're following, you know, you're on his program. And so he's a fallen angel.
Who would be top of the list? Who would be top of the list as being, I suppose, an antichrist?
Probably the Pope would be at the top of the list.
Oh, okay. The Pope is the antichrist. Why? Yeah. Well, surely he's supposed to be the messenger of God, isn't he?
No, he's absolutely not. Antichrist actually means in the place of Christ. That's what that prefix anti actually means. And so the Pope calls himself Father and is this mediator between God
Papa,
and men. He receives
Papa, yeah.
worship. He receives worship. The Bible says, call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. We're not to bow down and worship statues or worship a man. And so, you know, the Pope is the best representative of Antichrist.
I mean, do your kids listen to pop music? Do your kids listen to music?
No, they don't.
So when they want to listen to something, what do they listen to?
Well, I think that people spend far too much time listening to music anyway. So,
do they listen to any music? Have your kids been denied that opportunity?
Not really. They listen to very little music. I mean, we sing music. And, you know, some of them play musical instruments. And, I mean, sometimes we do listen to hymns. I mean, when we're in the car, we'll play CDs with Christian hymns and spiritual songs. So, I mean, they do listen to music. They don't listen to as much music as your average teenager
would they ever listen... Okay, let's say one of your kids wants to listen to some modern music, or even, I don't know, a bit of Queen, Led Zeppelin, the Beatles, or more modern music like Rihanna, or if your kids want to listen to that kind of stuff, would you object to it, yeah?
Yeah, we would not allow those artists in our home, and if they grow up and become an adult and want to listen to that stuff, at that point, that's their problem, that's on them, but we don't allow that stuff in our house, no.
And TV, not allowed in the house?
No TV.
Sounds like a pretty boring house.
No, actually, you know, there's these wonderful things called books that are extremely entertaining, and you actually get smarter instead of getting dumber.
Well, I'll tell you what. Do you mind if we take one or two calls?
Sounds good.
Okay. James, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, James?
How's it going, Matt?
James, well, Stephen is coming over here. Sorry, Stephen, remind me again the dates you're in Ireland. Sorry, I'm going to lose my nose here. Sorry.
It's Sunday.
What date are you coming to Ireland?
Our event is on Sunday, May 26th. It's just a one-day. It's just a one-day event. It's an all-day thing. So
I'm busy that day.
And you're also going to be popping into us here in the studio as well on that day.
Yes, on the 27th, I'm coming in. I think around noontime.
Okay, sorry, James. Yeah, go ahead. You want to talk to Stephen there?
Where to start now? How's it going, Stephen? I seen a couple of videos on YouTube.
And what do you think?
I think his opinions are quite terrifying.
Terrifying.
Because he's preaching violence.
Well, that isn't true. I don't preach violence. I'm totally non-violent. I just preached an anti-war sermon a few weeks ago.
Yes, but you just said homosexuals should be killed.
Executing criminals is not violence. Nobody calls it violence when somebody goes to the gas chamber by lawful process.
This is where we probably disagree on criminality. I don't think it's criminal to be a homosexual.
It's not criminal,
By the way, can I just point out, it's not a criminal act. All right, so I want to just clarify that, okay.
It should be a criminal act. In some countries it is a criminal act. In many countries, it is a criminal act.
Again,
79 countries at last count, I think. So,
okay, well, maybe it's best.
I'm going down,
Stephen.
I'm going down.
Yep, going down straight to hell is what our whole world is doing.
No, Stephen, you see, I think most people have advanced past your stage of Christianity, thank be to God. I think most people don't take it literal anymore. I think it's much more cultural and social. You might say, be damned. I personally think fundamental Christianity literally destroyed our continent twice. I don't think it's within weapons we have today we should go anywhere near fundamentalism. I think it would be a terrible idea. And I think you would bring the world to hell with your ideology. Because it's a conformist belief. It's a totalitarian ideology to have fundamental any religion, not even Christianity. And my mother's a Christian, and I would openly say that to her too.
Well, I've got great
your
news for you.
Your religion is totalitarianism in its finest. We can enjoy the architecture, the sculptures, the philosophy. It's a personal ideology which should be kept to you, kept out of politics, kept off the world stage. Personally.
Well, listen, I've got great news for you. The vast majority of people will never believe what I believe because the Bible says that broad is the road that leads to destruction and many there be which go in thereat because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life and few there be that find it.
Stephen,
why are you interrupting me when I'm speaking God's word? You know, I allowed you to say your piece and then you want to interrupt me when I give an answer.
Stephen, justify your actions by our own logic. Stop standing behind God to justify our own actions.
I can't justify it without God. God is the foundation.
The Christian God gave you free will. Why not practice that?
I am practicing my free will to follow Christ.
Free will.
To obey Christ.
Yes, and why not allow other people to have free will also?
You have free will. If you want to go to hell, that's up to you. I'm not going to force you to believe what I believe. And if you would let me finish my thought without interrupting me.
Okay, can I just explain something? Sorry, James. There's a slight delay, obviously, because Stephen is in Texas. So sometimes it does sound like you're constantly interrupting him. So I mean, when you say something, just allow him to complete what he has to say to you. And then maybe you could, if you want to rebut it, you can. Sorry, go ahead, Steve.
You know, I just wanted to say that the vast majority of people are never going to believe what I believe. It's always been the narrow way that leads to life, and the vast majority of people are always going to reject the truth and reject the Word of God. So there's no fear in the continent of Europe becoming a fundamental Christian
truth,
place.
Stephen.
So just relax.
To what degree is truth? To what degree is truth? Okay, so let's talk about some truths, okay? You stand over science to justify some of your religion. Use biology to justify some, how a woman is, how a man is. So how old is Earth?
Well, the Earth's approximately 6,300 years old.
Well, that isn't science. So you wanted to... Okay, going by science, Stephen, do you remember the credential you used previously to justify your beliefs?
There is no such thing as science that teaches that the Earth is more than 6,300 years old. That would be history or philosophy or religion. It is impossible for science to tell us what happened 6,300. I'm not going to just sit here and be talked at by you. okay? If you don't want to let me talk,
well, okay,
the point
he's making,
here?
Stephen, is there is man-made structures in this world that are over 6,000 years old.
That is not true. There is not a single man-made structure on this earth that is over 6,000 years old. What? Name the structure.
Are you suggesting that scientists, when
they do
carbon dating...
Name the structure that is over 6,000 years old.
I'm asking you a question first of all. Do you deny that carbon dating exists or is real?
Well, how far back does carbon dating go?
Well, according to scientists, now I can only believe what I watch in documentaries and stuff like that. I'm probably maybe not as well read on it as you might be. But I don't take that much interest.
What about the process of oil?
Well, hang on, James. According to scientists, that the Earth is 8 billion years old.
Well, carbon dating, even scientists who use carbon dating only claim that it goes back about 25,000 years, number one. So it can't tell you anything about
millions and billions. But what you're saying, 6,800 years old.
I'm saying 6,300.
It's only a claim as well, isn't it?
I'm saying 6,300 years because when God created Adam in the Garden of Eden, he didn't create a baby. He created a 30-year-old man. And so when he created the Earth, he created a mature Earth that has the appearance of age. So the carbon isotopes were already decayed. Because he created a full-grown earth. He created full-grown animals, so the chicken came before the egg, okay? So he created a man. If a doctor would have examined the man, he would have said that he was 30 years old, but he was only one day old, you know, the day after he was created.
Yeah, sorry, James, very quickly, because that's going to break. Come.
Why are we the chosen creature?
Human beings? But you want it to be dolphins?
Why us specifically? Why are we the specific chosen creature? To be given this God complex.
We are made in the image of God. I'm sorry that the dolphins don't dominate the planet. Is that what you want?
Okay, well, stay there a second. Let me go to Gerri-Ann. Gerri-Ann, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Gerri-Ann?
Hi, Niall. A couple of questions for Stephen. Stephen, did you say you're 37 years old?
32.
Yes, ma'am, 37. 37, yes.
Oh, 37, sorry, I apologize.
Okay, so you're very young. You also insulted the people of America and the people of Ireland by saying that we're very thick.
That's an Irish word for dumb. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Dumb, yeah. You said that the American people and the Irish people are dumb, and they're a lot dumber than they were 100 years ago, and I have to say I don't agree with you with that. However, I was just wondering, I'm a freelance journalist. Could I come along to your talk in May?
Sure, yeah. If you want to come and hear my talk, you're welcome.
Okay. Would you verify that with Niall?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Now, can I go back to another couple of things you said?
Yeah, sure. Right away, Gerri-Ann. Just be conscious of the time here.
Okay. You said that your wife was pregnant and you could enjoy having sex while she was pregnant.
Right.
Hello? What about your wife?
Well,
what about her, Gerri-Ann?
I mean,
what's wrong with enjoying sex while you're pregnant?
My question is, are you saying it's okay to get your wife pregnant 11 times so you can enjoy sex and your wife has no say in the matter?
Well, actually, she feels the same way that I feel. So there's not a conflict.
Well,
there.
I'm missing the point you're trying to make. If his wife objected to it, Gerri-Ann, you know, I would have some sort of issue or argument with it, but he's married to her. She doesn't object to it. She seems to be living the same lifestyle he does. She's a Christian,
yeah,
and they have sex together. What's the issue? I'm curious.
Okay, she's brainwashed. Okay, go back to when he got married first.
She's brainwashed.
His wife was on the pill for 3 months. What made her come off it, and how did she get brainwashed at that time?
Let me clarify. When you met your wife, was she a Christian?
No, she wasn't. No.
There you go.
But the reason why she came off it after 3 months was because I didn't have health insurance when I first got married, and so it was going to kick in 90 days later because I'd just gotten a new job. So she was on birth control for the 3 months so that it wouldn't be a pre-existing condition, because back then we didn't have the same beliefs that we have now about birth control. We learned that a little bit later, like a few years later. So
are you suggesting to me that your Christianity has become stronger?
Yes.
Since the time you've met your wife.
Yes. Yeah,
so
and my wife
you,
has taught me
when you met your wife first.
Even though my wife was not a Christian when I met her, she's actually taught me a lot of great things, even from the Bible.
And were you a la carte? Would you suggest that you may have been just a la carte up to that point?
What do you mean by that? I don't understand.
Well, a la carte is probably what you would describe most Irish people as when you talk about Christians, picking and choosing the bits they want to agree with.
No, she was just not a Christian at all. When we first met, she was just a complete, she was just an agnostic and had no belief in Christianity when we met. So.
So she found God.
Exactly.
Born again.
She was in Germany, which is, so she was raised with a feminist kind of leftist view that Germany has, so.
Right, okay. Well, Stephen, let me be fair. Can you stay there for a minute? I got to take a quick break, all right? Okay. I'm speaking to Pastor Stephen Anderson, who is, I was going to say playing. He's preaching here on Sunday, May the 22nd in Dublin in Ireland. And a lot of people have already signed an online petition saying he shouldn't be allowed to do it because his views, yes, they are fundamentalist. He is the founder of the Faithful Word Baptist Church in the United States. And a lot of people believe that his views are extreme. Some people have even described them as incitement to hatred. I want to know what you think. Should he be allowed to speak? Is this free speech? Let me know what you think. And the number is 087-188-0008. You can WhatsApp or text.
The Niall Boylan Show, Ireland's most listened to late night talk show with Woodland Motor Company. Quality cars without the controversy. WoodlandMotorCo.ie.
Classic hit.
Hey, it's BJ and Jim. Quick reminder to make sure you check out this week's After Show show, wherever you get your podcast, or you can catch it on our Facebook page. And I tell you, this week, I think it's fair to say BJ reflects a little on his life choices.
Yeah, I thought we were going to talk about my birthday, but it turns out I'm a criminal weirdo creep. Lovely, thanks, Jim.
The BJ and Jim After Show podcast.
Classic hits. This week at Dunn Stores, enjoy the delights of Easter. Treat yourself with half price on big brands including Pringles 200 gram range, Mars Fun Size range, and cereals such as Kellogg's Corn Flakes 720 grams. And save even more with our €10 off every 50 grocery vouchers. Dunn Stores, always better value. See online for terms and conditions, minimum spend required.
Make it the ultimate Easter weekend this April 20th to 22nd at Cork Racecourse Mallows with 3 days of action-packed festival racing plus much more. On Easter Saturday, join our special guest DJ at Tea Glass Eye Church Uppers. Easter Sunday, the Muckross Park Hotel most stylish lady event takes place. And Easter Monday's Family Fun Race Day is not to be missed. See corkracecourse.ie.
A dog like me isn't easily impressed. But your man doesn't seem to be doing too bad with the business. Not that I tell him. Even saved a few quid by insuring the van with the AA. So I can continue to sit up here, riding shotgun, lord of all I see. I tell you, if I two tails, I'd wag them.
Did you know that the AA does van insurance too? Go to the AA.ie and get €75 off today. Who's got clever van insurance? Acceptance criteria, terms and conditions apply. Minimum premium of €339. AA Ireland Limited Trading as AA Insurance is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Get your swagger on. And nothing says swagger more than a great pair of new shoes. And nowhere sells swagger better than Green's Shoes. At Green's Shoes, we've a swaggeringly great range of footwear for all occasions. From leading names like Una Healy, Vans, Dr. Martens, Birkenstock and Tommy Bow. Visit Green's Shoes in the Air Square Shopping Centre Galway and Crescent Shopping Centre Limerick or online at greensshoes.com. Green's Shoes. Selling swagger for 80 years.
Desirable. Reliable. Affordable. That's what you get when you buy any new or used car from Al Hayes Motors. For Skoda, Volkswagen, or any quality used car, visit Al Hayes in Ennis, Portumna, Tuam, or online at alhayesmotors.com. Al Hayes Motors. Desirable. Reliable. Affordable.
Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show.
Classic hits. All right, keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008 if you want to WhatsApp or text. You can send in your questions, and I will put them to Stephen if you don't want to come on the air yourself. Well, let me go, if I can, to Grania. You're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Grania?
Hi, Niall. How
are
you doing?
Grania, I think you should prepare to be insulted, by the way. So I'm just warning you in advance, all right? But go on anyway.
Oh, yes. I'm one of those people that Stephen would absolutely have killed and agree with.
Oh, he would have you sentenced to death. Off. Yeah.
I'd be thrown off a building if it was up to him. So I am a lesbian woman, and I also am non-religious. So I have a number of questions for Stephen. I want to ask him how does he feel that he needs to preach to people how to live their lives? Why does he think that he is in a position to be able to do that? out of everybody. What gives him the right to feel?
So why did you set up your church, this particular Baptist church, the Faithful Word Baptist Church? Why did you feel the need to tell other people how you feel and not just kind of keep it to yourself, I suppose?
Well, I'm no different than anyone else. And when I started my church, I wasn't trying to start something new and different. I was just starting another Baptist church. You know, I grew up a Baptist and a Bible-believing Christian, and I started a Baptist church. I'm preaching the Word of God. I want to do my best to serve the Lord and get people saved and preach the truth. I mean, I'm a pastor.
Okay, so get people saved. Do you believe in murder?
Do I believe that murder exists? Yes, it's called abortion.
No, do you believe in murder? People murdering people? Is that
no? I'm against murder. That's why I'm against Ireland murdering babies.
Right, but you're okay with that country where the new law
Brunei.
Throwing people. Yep, Brunei. Yes, are killing people, and you think that's wonderful, but you're not against. Killing. So
that's not murder. That's executing criminals. The government has the right. The government has been ordained by God to execute criminals, and those people have committed a capital crime.
So you agree with government having power?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
the government should have power. Yes.
I have some very important questions I want you to answer. Who is God first, and what?
Say that again. Who is God, and what?
What evidence is there that He exists?
Okay, God is the creator, and the evidence that He exists is the Bible.
Okay, and who wrote the Bible?
God.
And who is God?
The author of the Bible.
That, you're just going around in a circle.
Yep, yes, I am.
Well, it kind of is a chicken and egg thing, isn't it?
A human being wrote the Bible, okay? A human being with your idealistic views. So somebody wrote their opinion.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question.
Then,
if a human being wrote the Bible, then how come no one has ever been able to write a book even close to the Bible in greatness? There's not any book that can even come close.
There's loads of religions, and every single religion follows a different book. At the end of the day, they're all just a book written by a human being with a different ideological view. And all around the world, whether it be Muslim, Catholicism, they're all following words in a book written by a human being, somebody's version of a story. And you try to say that people have gotten less intelligent as the years have gone on. So if your definition of intelligence, following a book that was written 2,500 years ago and following it word for word and living your life by that and instilling hatred to people in our modern society, to me, that is not intelligence. That's the absolute epitome of stupidity.
Well, you're not even smart enough to know the difference between a man and a woman, so I'm not really interested in your view of intelligence.
Okay, so if you think that, then, like, I pity the people that are following your following, because that's a really stupid statement. How could you possibly know that?
Because you already told us that you're a lesbian, which shows that you don't even know... the difference between a man and a woman. You don't even know how biology
I'm sure she
works.
Well, hang on. I'm sure she knows the difference between a man and a woman. She's just chosen love a woman.
She did. Well, I love a woman, too.
I mean, with the greatest respect, Stephen, what Grania does in her bedroom is none of your business.
Oh, apparently it is, since she felt the need to tell me about it. She walked in here and got on the phone and said, "Hi, I'm a lesbian." So apparently she thinks it's my business. If she kept it in her bedroom, then we wouldn't even be talking about it, and I wouldn't even care. I don't care what she does privately.
Well,
she came on here and publicly announced her perversion.
You clearly do care, because you're ensuing hatred, and you want to come along and tell people that this behavior is unacceptable. Why can't you just have your little view, run your family the way that you want to run it? I completely disagree with it, and I completely pity your wife, and I really, really pity the children and the human beings that they're going to grow up to be. I feel so sorry for them and anyone that has to interact with them.
Okay, well, why can't you homos and lesbians just go live your little life instead of preaching your filth and perversion publicly? Why do you feel the need to come on the radio and preach your
filth and perversion? Because according to you, it's in the Bible.
Stephen, I'm actually come on because you're the preacher, inverted commas. I am a listener, and you are a preacher, so you're the one ensuing hatred about homosexuality. I am getting on with my life, minding my own business. You are the one.
You're not minding your own business because you're on here preaching perversion and filth to the world by announcing to everyone that you're a sexual deviant.
She called in to talk to you to try to make some sense of somebody who she believes is inciting what she believes is hatred.
Niall, do you actually expect me to believe for 1 second that homosexuals are not preaching their lifestyle from the housetops, cramming their filth down our throats?
Hang on, Grania, please, if you can. Heterosexuals preach their lifestyles from the rooftops.
What's different from you doing that?
It's not different. That's why you're a hypocrite to go tell me to be. It's not different.
I talk about my lifestyle on a regular basis. I'll talk about myself and my partner. Okay. I'll talk about my lifestyle. We've often talked about sex on the air. We preach our lifestyles from the rooftops. You've talked to me a few minutes ago about how you had sex with your wife while she was pregnant. So you preach about your lifestyle. So when you say preach, Grania didn't come on the air and say, by the way, tonight I'm going to jump into bed with my lesbian partner, and this is what we're going to do.
Listen.
She didn't tell us that.
She just said she's a lesbian. If the homos are going to preach their filth, then I'm going to preach the Bible. They preach their garbage. I'm going to preach what I believe. She's the one telling me to keep my mouth shut. Well, are the homos going to keep their mouths shut? Because if all the homos shut their mouths, then I'll shut my mouth, too. How's that sound?
Yeah, but even the language you're using is atrocious. Sorry, Grania.
To be honest, I am trying to treat somebody I think is a despicable human being with respect. And I feel that you're not showing any respect for me.
That's because I have no respect for you. I think that you're disgusting, and I have no respect for you.
Yes.
So basically, you're just...
That's disrespectful. Stephen, we could have a debate... And people can disagree with you, and James that was on the air earlier on, and Derianne, they disagreed with you inherently. But they didn't insult you by using certain types of language. And Stephen, you're an intelligent man, okay? You know certain words and types of language do upset people when you're talking directly to them. I'm not talking about in general terms. You can say what you want when you come in the comfort of your own home or on your YouTube videos. But when you're talking to somebody directly, using words like homos, perverts, whatever...
You should hear how I really feel. This is like the mildest possible language I could be using. I'm not even telling you how I really feel.
But you see, this is what's worrying, that if people are listening to somebody who has such an ideological view that's harmful to society, the only religion, my mother taught me, the only religion any person should have is this. And it's very simple, and it's one line. Religion is love, to show people love, and to give love, and to treat people kindly, and to treat everybody with respect, and to treat people as you'd like to be treated, and to show love, and to not be harmful to anybody. And that is all the religion that anybody needs. And if people can live their life like that, this world would be a very happy place, and not have idealistic people like you with such hatred in their heart. So I thankfully am not insulted by you calling me a homo, because I have taken years I'm comfortable with who I am, and thankfully I am there. And actual fact, I do believe in God, and God created me this way. And Niall, it's not a choice. So sorry to pull you up on that.
No,
I didn't choose to live my life this way. I chose to accept the way that God made me.
I don't think I said it was a choice, by the way.
I believe in God, but I believe in human hatred, and this man is the epitome of human hatred and damaging because he's calling himself a preacher. And I have every intention of getting a group together to go and protest outside of his horrible speech where he's going to, ensue more hatred into our very open-minded Irish people and society. I think he's damaging, and I don't want him here.
Okay, thank you, Grania, for that. Okay, Stephen, I think there's a lot of people who want to protest outside. How are you going to feel about that, by the way?
Well, I think it's great.
By the way, not just in relation to homosexuality and the gay issue, but a lot of other issues that you've talked about, including, I suppose, feminism would be high on their agenda, that you kind of come across as being anti-women. Stephen, see, the problem is, I can run with some of your views. I consider myself a conservative. I'm very family-orientated. I believe in the family. I'm not disagreeing with some of your views, but I certainly wouldn't procrastinate like you do to other people. You seem to have hatred for people who disagree with you.
No, I don't hate people who have disagreed with me, but I do hate homosexuals because they're disgusting, pedophiles, they're evil, wicked, haters of God.
You made that quite clear, so. But why are you so angry about it? Why are you upset about it? I mean, why does it upset you so much? I mean, your children are fine. You live in a lovely home. You have a beautiful wife. Why do you let it upset you so much? Okay, you don't agree with homosexuality. Fine. The Bible says so. Fine. But why do you allow it to upset you so much?
Well, why is she so upset that she's getting a group together to go waste a whole day of her life protesting me?
She's not going to... Well, she doesn't believe it's a waste of a day of her life.
Okay, well, I don't think it's a waste of my life to get angry and preach hard against sin. I don't think that's a waste
either.
Okay,
well, there you go. There's your answer. Because I have to... Okay, I have to wrap up in a second. But Andrew, you're on Classic Kids. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hello, how's it going?
Andrew, you agree with Stephen. Not everything he says, obviously.
Well, I have to say, people like Stephen have become more appealing to myself over the last long while. I don't agree with Stephen on everything, but I can sort of see Stephen as a type of person who just worries about the future of people and sort of see the writing on the wall that if he doesn't act in a certain way, it will all go to hell as such. Like, so if he doesn't act extreme, I can actually understand it. Now, I would consider myself an atheist for the longest time, and there's too many things that have happened in Ireland that have pushed me back towards, I suppose, being nearly agnostic, or maybe even going back towards religion. I'm in the mindset that I sort of just can't handle some of the decisions that the Irish people have made over the last while.
Well, that doesn't have anything to do with religion. I don't agree with some of the
liberal...
I'm not disagreeing with you completely. I don't agree with some of the liberal decisions that have been made in society, but that doesn't mean that I would be anti them, if you know what I mean.
Well, I see as there is a direct correlation between religion leaving society and awful horrors entering it. Like,
it's a correlation, absolutely, yeah.
There is definitely a correlation between...
correlation and causation, don't you?
Well, I'd say the less religious... It's no coincidence. The less religious Ireland has become, and now all of a sudden people are championing abortion. And as Stephen would say, it is murder. And there's no two ways to look at it. It is murder. And
will you be going to see Stephen on Sunday, May the 22nd?
No, I won't be going to see him. I'm only after finding out about him tonight. I've never even heard of him before. But I know a lot of people are giving out to him there. But I don't see in Stephen just all pure hatred. I see in Stephen he has worry for the future of humanity. And he probably feels, actually you can ask him, he probably feels, Jesus, if he doesn't act in a certain way, like who else is going to stand up against the rising tide of sort of degeneracy?
But, I mean, we live in a democracy, so, you know, when you say who's going to stand up to it, as people, we've a right to stand up to liberalism, in some sense, if you feel the need to stand up to it. I mean, we've already seen...
There's no stopping it.
Yeah, but hang on a second. In America, you've seen, I suppose, Donald Trump, who certainly wouldn't be liberal and making decisions which are not very liberal. For example, very recently, he banned transgenders from the American army. That would have been something that Obama or Hillary Clinton would have done. So, and that, again, is vote. They are voted by, democratically, by the people. I mean, in this country, we have a referendum every time we need to change the law. I mean, you, unfortunately, are in a minority in this country now because you are the one who are against abortion. The majority voted for it. You might think it's wrong. That's okay. It's okay to think it's wrong. It's okay to be part of the 33% who voted against it. That's fine, and I respect your view on it. But it doesn't mean... But we have to... I mean, you either agree with democracy or you don't.
Well, Niall, I was... I didn't want to argue with you at all. I just wanted to say to you that through certain actions that the Irish people have taken, it's pushed me out of atheism, pushed me back towards people like Stephen. Now, I know Stephen is the more extreme end of things, but to me, Stephen just seems more like the only type of person that I can see of now that will actually open his mouth and stand up against these people who are, you know, there are campaigns in America now at the moment, Stephen probably knows about it, called Shout Your Abortion. So it's no longer about just, maybe having the gun. It's actually going, no, be proud of your abortion. Shout it and be proud. And I can only see this getting worse. Like, in my mind, without people like Stephen standing up against this, so what's them to stop them for coming after, I don't know what, sick people, elderly people? It seems like it will never end unless people like even stand up against them.
Okay, well, that's why he's on the air, because we do believe in freedom of speech as well. Okay, but stay there for a second, because just before Stephen goes, Sean, you want to speak to Stephen very quickly. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just had a question there. So let's get back to this whole... How old is the Earth again? How old is the Earth?
He said, how old did you say, Stephen? 6,800 years old?
About 6,300 years old.
300 years old, okay.
All right, that's not correct. That's not correct at all.
Okay, well, I think we spoke about that, and he said that that's, you know, what the Bible says.
I don't care what the Bible says. That's not correct.
Well, I don't care what you say. That is correct. And I already explained why it appears older than it is. Just like when Adam was created, he appeared older than he was.
You don't care why, and yet, how are you talking to us right now again? What are you using? What device are you using?
Well, do you need me to explain to you the difference between an evolutionary biologist and an engineer?
I could explain the difference to you. Can you
explain to me what Richard Dawkins GPS invented? Which cell phone company does Richard Dawkins work for? That my phone was invented by mathematicians and engineers, not navel-gazing evolutionary biologists. Why don't you shut up?
Okay, will you ask him a question? He's just answering the question you asked him, Sean. But go on. Okay, so even hang on for a second. Sean, what's the point you want to make?
No, he's not.
Sorry,
no, that's again, he's just going on and on. And anyway, how is your plane going to get to Ireland, Stephen?
Well, it's gonna be carried by a dinosaur fossil, and Richard Dawkins is going to be the pilot, and Michio Kaku is going to be the co-pilot, okay?
The way you're playing, okay, for the rest of the audience who aren't deranged lunatics like you, just for their benefit, the plane is going to get from the United States to Ireland using navigational aids that depend upon the global positioning satellite system, and that system actually depends on a very fine tuning of timing between the surface of the Earth and the geosynchronous orbit, 25,000 miles above the surface where those satellites are located. It has been determined by some guy called Einstein, about 100 years ago, that time actually progresses relatively slowly compared to a moving observer. If you're down here close to the surface of the Earth, then your time is going to run slower than somebody up in space. This is an effect. This isn't a theory. This isn't a liberal agenda. This is a hard fact that determines where your plane's going to go. Just like it's a hard fact that determines how your cell phone system can locate where you are using triangulation from GPS satellites. I know you just poo-pooed the whole dinosaur thing, but again, okay, so.
Well, that's really fascinating, because I had no idea.
The point that Sean is clearly making is that scientific facts can actually be proven and demonstrated.
Boy, that is really fascinating, because I had no idea that Einstein's theory of relativity had anything to do with me flying on an airplane to Ireland. Turns out Einstein's theory of relativity is allowing me to talk on this phone right now. That's amazing.
It is.
That is the stupidest crap I've ever heard. Einstein's theory of relativity has nothing to do with my flight, my GPS, or my cell phone.
Nothing.
It's nonsense.
Interesting.
Okay, but the point clearly that Sean is making is that scientific facts can be proven and demonstrated, as he demonstrated there talking about.
Amen. But then there's science falsely so-called.
But what you're telling us of the Earth being 6,300 years old is just something that's written in a book. It can't be proven or demonstrated.
Well, the Big Bang is something that's written in a book that can't be demonstrated or proven either.
Style.
Well, there was a big picture in the internet last week of a black hole for the first time ever. We managed to picture it.
The picture that was taken by the Event Horizon Telescope depends on the dispersed telemetry across the entire surface of the Earth. The only way they can actually collate these pictures is by using very precise atomic clocks that, again, account for relativistic effects of motion and gravity on the flow of time.
Okay, well, let's move away from
the Earth. Wow, that's so fascinating.
Moment,
thank you so much for that. That was amazing.
You're an idiot.
You're a complete idiot. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. You think that everything came from nothing. That is the ultimate stupidity. That is against science to think, hey, why don't you be quiet and listen to what I have to say? I listen to you run your mouth about all your theory of relativity airline, okay? But the bottom line is, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. You think that nothing can create something. That's against science.
Tell me what I think.
You believe in a biogenesis, which is anti-science. A biogenesis is spontaneous generation, and it doesn't exist.
I can't hear both of you talking at the same time. Sorry, Sean. You know, I mean, I got to have it one at a time. It is radio, not TV. People can't see both of you. Yeah. But okay, let me just move away from, you know, the Earth and how old it is very quickly. Okay, Sean, do you believe in God, yes or no?
No, we've given you that answer many times.
A God, before. A God.
I don't believe in his ridiculous concept of a God, but yes, I do believe in some sort of God, yes.
Well, then, is that not contradictory to what you've just told us, like, over the last 10 minutes, that, you know, you base everything on logic and scientific facts? Because a God relies on faith.
My conception of God does not entail denying the fact that time flows at different rates according to the relative motion or gravity of the observer. No, my God is not a God who says stick your head in the sand and don't figure shit out for yourself. My God is a God that says, yes, man was created in my image, yes, fine. Use your fucking brain. Don't be an idiot. That's my God, Niall.
Okay, does your God say that women should be treated equally in society?
Of course.
Stephen's God says otherwise.
I know it does. It's just an excuse for him to use his bigotry. He leans on this. He's an intellectual lightweight who, again, doesn't even understand how his plane gets to Ireland. And he's bad-mouthing the science that makes it possible, cherry-picking where he wants to. This notion of a 6,000-year-old Earth is ridiculous. And the United States is the only country on Earth with a sizable proportion of people who believe that, to its eternal shame. Despicable.
Okay, but Stephen, you can answer very quickly if you can. Because I know
five billion years from now, we're going to be ashamed of America because of the eternal shame. Right. This guy is a complete idiot, trying to sound smart, using a lot of big words, about how Einstein's theory of relativity is going to get the airplane to Europe. Well, guess what? Airplanes flew long before Einstein came up with his theory of relativity, and then that was implemented into a global positioning system.
Not that you would know that 12 years, actually. But they weren't actually, you know, depending on navigation systems.
This guy is a moron if he thinks that evolutionary biology and astrophysics and the theory of relativity have to do with cell phones and airplanes. That is stupidity and nonsense. He can use as many big words as he wants.
Stephen, what do you do for a living, by the way? What do you work at? What do you do for a living?
Well, I'm a pastor.
but you don't make money being a pastor, do you?
Oh, yes, I do. I have a church. I pastor full-time. It has 400 people in it, and that's my full-time job. I used to be an electrician. I'm sure. I guess evolutionists invented electricity too, according to him. I guess we need to calculate the age of the Earth in order to turn the light bulb on, according to this guy.
Did they? Well, I mean, it did take clever people to, you know, invent electricity or develop electricity. It wasn't around in Jesus' time.
Well, it took clever people.
If it wasn't for Tesla.
It took clever people to come up with an idea so stupid as that everything came from nothing and that nothing exploded. And that's everything. That's stupid and non-scientific.
That's your understanding.
Well, explain to me, where did life come from? Where did the first life form come from? Can you explain that?
We don't. It's not known.
Yeah, you don't know because, and that's the only question that matters. And you don't know.
And you don't know either.
I know it was created by God.
Say, Stephen, that, you know, a few hundred years ago, we didn't really know how far the moon was. We didn't really know if we could get there. We didn't know what was further than the moon because we didn't have telescopes powerful enough to see it. We didn't know how computers would work because we didn't have them. We didn't know a lot of stuff. You know, but as time moves on, we learn more. So
maybe in a thousand years' time,
scientists will be able to answer your question.
You're never going to be able to create life. Only God can create life. And they'll never be able to create life. And they never have. And they think life came from nothing by itself?
Cling to your butt. Cling to your pacifier, buddy. Keep clinging. You're a big baby is what you are. You can't deal with reality. Grow the fuck up.
Okay. On that note, Stephen, I know you're kind of a busy man and you got to go. And I'm looking forward to you coming over because I know you said you come into the studio during the day when you're here. So you're here on Sunday, May the 22nd. And if people want to get more information, whereabouts are you? Where will your sermon be? I assume you call it a sermon, do you?
Well, we're not announcing the location because we don't want the, you know, businesses to ban us or create problems for us because we'll have a bunch of homos call them and shut us down. So
gay people, yeah, that you don't like.
Well, I'm gay. I mean, gay means happy.
Okay.
So
All right. Well, I'm concerned about that anyway. Okay, so we'll talk to you then anyway. All right, okay, Steve?
Yep, sounds good. Thanks.
Looking forward to it. Bye. All right, okay. There you go, Pastor Stephen Anderson.